Hello and welcome to... That's not the intro I'm supposed to be doing.
you've been doing that one a lot lately, I take it.
Oh, God.
It's probably a fair bit.
A fair bit more than this one, at least. Welcome to Smash Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are usually doing on this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2019's Fire Emblem Three Houses. But this is a bonus episode, which means it's not an episode that is on our official list, and you're getting it because the official list episode is taking too long. Sorry.
Very possible there's back-to-back bonus episodes for this one.
Very possible. And this bonus episode is on the 1995 Super Nintendo game Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy's Kong Quest. That's right, it's not Diddy... It's not Diddy Kong's Quest. It's Diddy's Kong Quest.
Yeah, that's what we call a pun, a joke, in fact.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who don't realize that until they're adults. I didn't realize it until I was an adult. I assumed it was just Diddy Kong's Quest for years, but it's not. It's Diddy's Conquest.
This is his conquest of the land.
Yeah, his conquest of the land and the murdering of all of the pirates on it. All of them. They are all dead now, and they'll never bother anyone again.
So I'm going to be real here. I don't really remember what I said about the first game, and I kind of made a point not to check, because I feel like if I did, I wouldn't have much to say about this game, because it's kind of just the same game.
If I remember correctly, essentially, we both sort of walked away from Donkey Kong Country 1 being like, yeah, it's fine. It's a fine 2D platformer, I guess. And there really wasn't much more than that.
That's kind of where I stand on this one, to be honest.
I kind of like this one better, but I'm not going to sit down and be like, oh, this one's far improvement. It's best, one of the best 2D platformers ever. It's fine.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a lot more this time. I felt it last time, and I just don't remember it. But I really felt this time around that the field of view really hurts this game as a platformer, because the camera is pretty zoomed into the character compared to most 2D platformers, especially, you know, before we had widescreen games. So you don't really have a lot of room to see what's coming. And I think that really makes some of the levels in this game a lot more frustrating than they need to be.
Oh, yeah,
especially because it's just kind of a difficult game on top of that.
You can't zoom the camera in. You can't zoom the camera out, Matt. Otherwise, if you do that, nobody's going to be able to see your beautiful 3D models.
We're not going to get to notice the silicon graphics.
Yeah, and you spent more money than your entire company is worth to get that technology, so you better fucking make sure people can see it.
And I just kind of... a lot of, like, the gimmicks to the levels just didn't really feel that interesting to me. They blend together a lot. I don't even feel like there are really that many distinct levels that stand out, besides remembering that, oh, hey, all the Bramble levels are bad.
Oh, God, they're all so fucking bad. Especially, I really didn't like the one that I really don't like, the Bramble level, is the one where you are riding the parrot, Squawks. That one sucks a lot. I don't remember what that level's called, but it's bad.
Most of the time that I was with, like, the animal companions in this game didn't feel great. I feel like I especially felt it on the spider with where like you had to shoot the webs with like this really weird control timing so that you could make like a staircase out of them basically. And I never managed to intuitively figure out how that was supposed to work.
Yeah. The animals in this one are, not great. And I feel like it was specifically because they wanted to make it feel a bit more, they wanted there to be more of a difference between all of the animals. Because in Donkey Kong Country 1, you had like, yeah, you got Rambi, you got the ostrich, and you've got En Garde. But, and like all three of those are like, yeah, they're different animals, but they all boil down to you ride them. And that's it. That's the whole thing.
And maybe it's okay that that's the whole thing, frankly. Because once they start getting more complicated, then it also just becomes really frustrating when, like, you lose them. And then it's just, like, the entire level is just kind of shot because you just need to go back or else you're just not going to be able to get some of the secrets or the level's going to be substantially more difficult. I don't really like that so much of this game's, like, secrets and such are dependent on things that you can lose and you just need to start over.
I think that this game's difficulty balance in general is fucked. We mentioned the Bramble levels. So one of the big complaints that people had when DK Country 1 came out, and stop me if you've heard this story before, whether it's about Donkey Kong Country or literally any other video game, there were complaints that the original was too easy and they overcorrected super hard.
This game's not even hard in like interesting ways. There's just like a lot of incredibly precise platforming that the graphics don't really line up with very well for what the hitboxes actually are. Like there was one clip that I put on Twitter of just like me rewinding on the NSO app over and over again because like I was just supposed to make like a pixel perfect jump over something that had a much wider hitbox than the sprite actually appeared to be. And it's just the game doesn't have a lot of very good visual conveyance for what will and will not kill you. And that combines with the small field of view in a way that makes the game very frustrating.
Even when it does, some of the later levels are just straight up bad and not fair. Like Toxic Tower, for one. Toxic Tower is the one where you are the snake for pretty much all of it. And it's a rising poison pool that is going fast enough that it's essentially always right behind you. And if you make one mistake, you die. Fuck
you. I came real close to just not playing anymore after that.
Like, that level is possibly one of the worst levels of a 2D platformer I've ever fucking played. It is so, so bad. Like, and even, it's bad enough that, like, we have a friend who she really, really loves, like, really, really hard platformers. And when I mentioned this level, the instant I mentioned it, the first words that came out of her mouth were fuck Toxic Tower. Like, it's just not good. It's not a fair level. And there's so many of the like later levels in the game that are just that.
And it just, the controls just kind of don't feel good enough to justify difficulty. Like it feels very clunky and odd the way that you move in this game. To the point, like, it almost feels like you move slower than you're supposed to. And a big appeal of the Retro Studios Donkey Kong Country games for me is that the controls to those feel really fantastic. And there is a sense of really good momentum and speed to your movement where it's almost kind of like a rhythm game where you're trying to kind of hit things at the right moment. And this game was kind of the opposite of that, where you can't really afford to get into a flow. Everything that you do needs to be very slow and careful, or else you're just going to die. And that, it doesn't feel very good in this game because the controls just don't feel tight enough for that. It feels like the levels were designed independently from the controls, where they didn't know how the character was going to feel when they were making them.
It's possible, because one of the characters is obviously, like, new. So for people that haven't played DK Country 2, Donkey Kong is not playable in this game. In fact, the plot of the game is that Donkey Kong has been kidnapped by King K. Rool. Sorry, he's not King K. Rool in this one. He's Captain K. Rool in this one. And so you instead have Diddy Kong returning. Obviously, you could probably tell that based on the fucking title of the game. But you also have Dixie Kong, who is Diddy's girlfriend. Yeah, I believe that is the case.
Something. I don't know.
I believe that she is Diddy's girlfriend. She's Tiny's sister.
Yeah, but Tiny's not real.
Tiny is real in my heart. The original Tiny. The new Tiny's not real. You're correct on that. But she comes with a pro and con, in my opinion, because on one hand, I love playing as Dixie, personally. But she does come with a trade-off that in the original Donkey Kong Country, like, DK was slower, but he was also stronger, and he felt like he had more weight behind his movement, whereas Diddy is a little bit floatier, and he's faster. But both Dixie and Diddy feel like they're roughly the same weight, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which does sort of affect the game in general. But, like, DK Country 3 kind of fixes this by making the second character heavier again. It's just that character happens to be a character pretty much no one likes.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, I think I mentioned that this was another big part of the issue that I had with the game is where I like 2 a lot less, specifically because Donkey Kong's not in it, and because between the three characters of DK, Diddy, and Dixie, each of them do have, like, their own distinct feel. And I'm talking about, like, the really specific nuances of, like, their exact rate of acceleration, their hitboxes, all those things. And of those three, I really only think Donkey Kong feels good. Like, and he's the one that's not here.
See, for me, it's Dixie. I really like playing as Dixie. If I'm not playing as Dixie, then I'm not having as much fun in this game. I really like the margin of error that her hover lets me have. Because Diddy does not have that. And therefore, if I mess up as Diddy, I die. Whereas if I mess up as Dixie, I probably die, but I have a chance to not.
I've never felt like I was actually able to recover with that. If her hover was ever going to get me over a jump, it was because I had already decided that I was just going to hover over it.
See, I used it to correct, like, precision mistakes and stuff like that. I had to do that a lot.
I never found myself able to do that.
That sounds like a personal problem. But yeah, I like playing as Dixie the best. We could just all agree that playing as Diddy is the worst. And, like, I don't know. This is generally considered the best one of the trilogy. So it's downhill from here.
I mean, I might just not like this whole trilogy.
I mean, it's possible. I don't think we came away from DK Country 1 with you not liking it. I think it was just, yeah. Like, I think that's what it came down to. Was just a general, yeah, sure, it was a video game.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's kind of where I am here. It really feels like this game is just part of that period of time where graphics were everything.
And oh, 100%. I'm pretty sure we said this about DK Country 1, but without the Silicon graphics, nobody would have given a shit about either of these games.
That's why I made a point not to go back and see what I said about the first game, because I'd have nothing to say about this one. It's all the same to me. It really does feel like the graphics are, like, the main thing this game has going for it. And the graphics, I feel, get in the way of the playability because it's so difficult to read the screen. Everything blends together in a weird way with all of like the pixel 3D model shading that it has that doesn't, it doesn't scan well. And so it's just, it's difficult to see where I'm supposed to be on the screen.
You know what it reminds me of? And what? this is also going to involve a game that you didn't really like, and I only found fine. It might be like a snippet from a Nintendo Power or something. Maybe it's an EGM. I don't know. But and Poorly Aged Stuff is the one who posted it, because obviously. But it's an article about how, yeah, people might like Symphony of the Night, but look at the 3D graphics on Castlevania 64. It's going to blow it out of the damn water.
I don't know where you got like me having an opinion on Castlevania 64. I've never played that.
No, I was talking about Symphony of the Night. That's the game.
Right.
But like, it was legitimately an article about how like, yeah, whatever, Symphony of the Night, it's 2D. Look at this 3D thing. Oh, man, it's going to be the best ever. Guess which one of those games has a fan base still?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's the Donkey Kong Country Trilogy is kind of the same in that regard of like it's coasting on its revolutionary graphics. And so it doesn't need to try as hard as, say, a Super Mario World. And I kind of think that, not to say that I don't think they tried when making this game. Obviously, there was a lot of effort put into the Donkey Kong Country games. And I still do overall like them. It's just going back to them as an adult, I think I'm good after once.
Yeah, well, kind of the thing of it is like it. This is a AAA game in the SNES time, like with all the same problems that AAA games today now have, where they're not particularly like they're not all that great as games. It's all about the spectacle.
Kinda, yeah. It's very very reminiscent of that, I feel. But you know what I don't find underwhelming about Donkey Kong Country 2, Matt?
Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna agree with this part.
The soundtrack. I love this fucking game's soundtrack.
I don't remember most of it.
It's considered generally one of the best soundtracks of the SNES, and I think I agree with it.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's bad or anything, because it's not. It's just like I can't really pull out anything memorable from it.
I mean, there's one that everybody should know, being Sticker Brush Symphony. Sorry, everybody, it's not Sticker Brush Symphony, as I learned recently. It's Sticker Bush Symphony. Because my life has been a lie for years. Recently, David Wise, the composer behind this game, posted like a screenshot of some of the, what was it? Some of the metadata or something behind some of the original production files, and you could see that the song is labeled Sticker Bush Symphony. And then Peter and I, when we found this out, started looking around at other official sources, and yes, it's Sticker Bush Symphony.
Yes.
And we've been adding the R in without realizing it for years. So that's cool. My entire life was a lie, but this song's pretty good. Though I think pretty much almost every remix of it in the future has been like 10 times better. Like the Brawl remix of this song is untouchable. It's fantastic.
Yeah, like this one's just kind of like fine. Like I don't even consider I don't even know if this is like even that much of a super standout for me, to be honest.
It's not really for me either on the grand scheme of things in the soundtrack, but like you said, it's the normie pick. Like if people are going to know one song from Donkey Kong Country 2, it's this one. Just in general. Mm-hmm. One of my personal favorites is actually Hothead Bop. I dig this song a lot. It's the lava level music. Mm-hmm. Where you're bopping on the alligators that can, for some reason, are they crocodiles? I guess they're crocodiles. Kermelings are crocodiles, I think. Why can they survive in the lava? I don't know. Shut up. But I really, really like this song because it doesn't sound like what I would expect a lava level to sound like. And I kind of dig that. And I just think it has a pretty good groove to it in general.
I think overall the soundtrack just kind of isn't really like the vibe that I go for music. Like it's very low key and relaxed in a way that I tend not to really find memorable, because it just kind of like it fades into the background a little bit. And that's kind of part of why it just doesn't really stick for me. It feels almost like the kind of music that you'd get at like a Disney theme park, where like it's not there to be noticed. It's there almost specifically not to be noticed.
Oh no, that's just the two songs we've talked about.
I'm looking there's through plenty the whole soundtrack.
Snakey Chanty. You're gonna tell me this song is fucking low key? You're gonna look me in the eyes and tell me that it's low key?
Yeah, this is just copying Gangplank Galleon's.
Yeah, for literally 5 minutes, for fucking 15 seconds. Then it's something else. I like Snakey Chanty. I also like Jib Jig. Though that one is also very low-key. But I like it because I like sea shanties, and this one sounds like a not really a sea shanty, but it sounds like something you'd hear on a pirate ship. You get what I mean. It's piratey. I like it. Jib Jig is fun. But it's another one where, like, you go look up, like, actual violinists playing this song, and holy shit, it's so much better. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I don't think the sound font in this game does it any favors.
That's the SNES's fault, to be perfectly fair. When the SNES tries to do more realistic sounding instruments, it's not good at it?
Maybe it shouldn't do more realistic instruments.
I only have one other song that I like to talk about when I talk about DK Country 2, and that's Mining Melancholy. Only because this song is weird, and I just sort of dig it.
This doesn't seem that out there. I feel like this is It's a pretty clear melody, and it's got like sort of an industrial percussion to kind of give that feel of a mine.
I think it's supposed to be like mining noises during the percussion. I really dig when songs do that. It's really cool.
Yeah, I would say that I'm also a fan of that. So this is probably one of the better songs.
I really dig this song, though. I know there are people that are like, they should put a rap over this song. Maybe they should. I don't know. Maybe it'd sound good. I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference on that.
I feel like there's a lot of times where you say things like, oh, yeah, I know a lot of people say this, and it's just an opinion that is completely out of left field that I don't know where it's coming from.
From some people.
Okay.
I don't know what else you want. It just has that. It's one of those songs that sort of feels like, I think there actually are people that have put rap over this, but I haven't gone and seeked it out. Cause I don't know. Oh shit. No, there is one other song. Fuck. How did I almost forget this one? I really, really like Lockjaw's Saga. This is one of the ones that came back in Tropical Freeze, actually. And Tropical Freeze has my favorite version of this song in general. But this is the original, and the original is still pretty all right, honestly, overall. I dig it. It's very intense.
Yeah, I'm thinking the sound font is like the biggest problem that I have here, where like this melody, like I'm thinking about it, and this does seem good. It's just like the actual sound of it just feels, I don't know, it just doesn't feel great.
Well, let me look up real quick the Tropical Freeze versions. Because there's two, actually. It's all on the same level. So I'm gonna play both of them. The first one being Irate 8 Tension. And then you've also got, after that, you have and in Tropical Freeze, it's a level where you are being stalked and then actively chased by a giant octopus. And it's my favorite level in Tropical Freeze by far, and this music is a good part of it.
I will say that the chase version is definitely more my speed.
I like the chase version better, but I know even Peter, when we talked about it, likes the tension version a little bit better.
Even the tension version, I think, is better than the Super Nintendo version. Because it's just like it's still not quite my jam, but it's definitely a lot better in a clearer sound font.
Yeah, I really like the DK Country 2 soundtrack, but I think I like where people have taken it since more than I like it as it existed in, you know, 1995.
Yeah, I would say that probably, like, for defining, like, my, like, what I vibe with for music is probably, like, musical contrast. And there isn't really a lot of that in this soundtrack where, like, the overall, like, tone and like, tempo is more or less the same throughout entire songs in this in a way that just, it feels static. And I just don't dig that as much.
Yeah, I could see that. It is very low quality because it's the compressed versions too. That's part of it. They had to compress all of this music down. And DK Country 2 didn't get the same thing that the first game got, where like 3 years ago, somebody bought a PC and just found the uncompressed production files for the DK Country 1 soundtrack on that PC.
Yep.
And they were able to like remaster the whole soundtrack and post it uncompressed. And 2 didn't really have that happen to it, as far as I'm aware. If it did, somebody please tweet at me. But as far as I'm aware, 2 was not that way.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? Maybe if it did, who knows?
Yeah, I think top to bottom, this is just a game that is just aggressively not for me.
And I like it fine, but I would not go out of my way. Well, I like it fine until the last, like, 6 levels, which can all fuck off. But I don't think I'm going to go back to play it at any point.
There was like a deep despair in my heart when I got to what I thought was the end of the game. And then it's like, surprise, there's another world.
I am interested in giving 3 a shot, but who the fuck knows when I'll actually end up doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember liking 3 as a kid, but I remember liking 1 and 2 as a kid too. So
another trip up the hill for Sisyphus.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't got anything else to say about Donkey Kong Country, so I guess that's what we're going to wrap it up. So you can follow me over on Twitter at StringPixel. You can follow Matt at GrimaceDuminis, where you can pretend that only Matt said negative things about the game and tweet at him about it, because I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, you can go over there and see me say negative things about other games.
Like Xenoblade 2. A lot. You can also follow the show itself at Smash to Pieces. You can also follow Smash to Pieces on YouTube, where we post the VODs for the games that we play on the official list. The bonus episodes don't go up on there. Those are just for you guys, because the YouTube channel doesn't really need that, because we put up VODs pretty regularly. So you can, if you miss our streams, which we do over at HTTPS. Why did I? So if you miss our streams, which you can see over at twitch.tv/Nintendo World Report, you can go to the YouTube channel. I mean, they're on the Twitch still, too. You can go look them up there. But you should also go to the YouTube channel and watch the VODs there as well. Watch them in both places. Watch them on Twitch and then go watch them on YouTube. That's your job now.
Well, now there also might be a third place to get them soon.
Yeah, true. So I hope you're all clearing your schedules, because you're going to have to watch every VOD 3 times.
Mm-hmm. let's get that search engine optimization up.
And look, nothing in the rules says that you can't play all 3 at the same time and just mute 2 of them. You know?
Or don't. Or that's don't. What we call surround sound in this business.
Yeah, that's how surround sound works, definitely. He does not edit bonus episodes, but you can also follow our usual editor, Peter Spezia, at Pete Speak Easy. I do another show with him called Original Sound Chat, where we talk about video game music. We actually have an episode on Donkey Kong Country 2. You can go check that out. It was paired up with Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, which I had forgotten that's what the game was paired up with.
What's the theme on that one?
I don't remember, but I genuinely don't remember. And I don't want to look it up because it'll be disappointing if I do, I feel like. Won't it? I don't know. But yeah, you can go listen to that and listen to me talk about how the best song in Dream Drop Distance isn't even from Dream Drop Distance originally. So, you know. With that, my name is Joe.
My name is Matt.
And we'll see you next time for whatever the hell episode is coming up. Bye.